Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Ma'am, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Ma'am, I don't know what you are talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together. And Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." Then they all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right in saying, I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be a king. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to their commandments.
Thank you. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's a gruesome scene. His face is black and blue, his eyes swollen, his lips cut. The whole of it is covered in blood. His back is ripped open by the scourge, and not just a few little cuts or scratches or scrapes, but it was basically one giant wound. Even if Pilate would have released him, he probably would have died from these injuries. Nails opened yet another pathway for blood. And there he hung, a bloodied figure, barely recognizable, to be tortured, to slowly die, to suffer, and to gasp for each breath for 6 hours. The idea was to prolong the suffering as much as could possibly be done. And yet that was only the physical torment. His people hated him. God the Father had turned his back on him, and hell was dumped on him. An angel already had come in Gethsemane to strengthen him for this laborious task, for even in Gethsemane he already was in great anguish. The cross is 10 times more. But do not feel sorry for Jesus. Do not mourn over what he endured. Do not shed a tear that this innocent man, that your God, was condemned. Do not feel bad that he had to go through all of this. As Jesus says, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Weep as Peter wept. Peter wept because he had sinned. He had denied his Lord 3 times. He wept not for Jesus, but for himself. These tears flow from the depths of his heart, for he knew what he had done to his God, and he knew what he deserved because of that sin. So recognize also what you have done. Your guilt is great. Your lust, your discontentment, your greed, your pride, your self-pity. You're no better than Pilate, refusing to talk to some people about Christ just to maintain a good relationship with family and friends. You're no better than Peter, refusing to talk to others about Christ just to stay on good terms. You're no better than Pilate, giving in to the shouts of others just to maintain peace. You're no better than the women, simply feeling sorry for Jesus and this great ordeal that he had to suffer so unjustly. But look at your sins and weep. Let your tears flow from the depths of your heart, for you are the one who deserved the flogging, the thorns, the nails, the crown, the cross, the spit, the beatings. You are the one who deserved the Father's wrath and hell's eternal fire. Do not weep for Jesus as if he couldn't help himself or he couldn't prevent his death. But weep for yourselves. Weep for your children. Because you are the sinners. And you are the ones who deserve death. And you are the ones who are helpless to stop it. But add faith to your tears. They are your sins and it is your curse, but you are not the one who carries it nor endures it. Christ is. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. No one forced him, but he went willingly. So don't weep for him as if this great injustice happened to him and he remained helpless. Don't weep as if it could not be stopped in any way. Rather, love him. Have tears of joy and love. Love him for refusing to stop it. Love him for willingly taking your place all the way to the end. Love him and believe this great injustice, this gruesome event, is not helplessness, but is the power of God and is your salvation. Let tears of love flow when you hear of his passion, for to him you were worth it all. He knew exactly what he was doing as he stood in the garden. He knew exactly where he was going as he stood in trial. And yet he would not be deterred. He wanted the cross. He wanted your pain. He wanted your agony, your suffering, your death. He wanted your place so that you might have his life forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
to me.
Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
In the day of trouble I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us.
For we hope in you.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let your priests speak bold with righteousness.
And let your saints shout for joy.
O Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Save your people and bless your inheritance.
Feed them also with your mouth forever.
Remember your congregation,
which you have purchased of old.
Peace be within our walls.
And prosperity within our dwelling place.
Let us pray for our absent brothers and sisters.
O God, save your servants that trust in you.
Let us pray for the brokenhearted and the captives.
Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Send them help from the sanctuary.
And strengthen them out of Zion.
The Lord be with you.
Praise
the Lord.
The grace of our